Walpole Tire, an ideal portable buildings. Text us on the Fairway Carts text line at 888-993-7762. Now, here's your host, Ben Carlisle.
We are live and you are listening. This is Bleed Tech Blue Radio. I'm Ben Carlisle, joined by Beck Haynes. Our Hall of Fame producer, John Tabor, is here. The air is out at the Sports Talk 97.7 studios, but we are true competitors.
Sounds like the air is out of you there, Ben.
Well, hey, Tabor, just try not to blow your ears out.
This is true.
Just try not to blow your ears out. But we're competing.
It's going to be a 15-minute show tonight.
The dogs didn't take a night off at FAU, winning 21-13. You know Bleed Tech Blue Radio isn't taking a night off. Beck, not one, not two. That's three straight, baby. Dogs are 6-2, 4-1 in Conference USA play. Five straight conference road wins. Heck, let's stick them in a hotel week in and week out and see what happens.
It's a mile from where we were last year at this time. You remember coming in here week after week?
Oh, it's rough.
You went on a few rants.
Yeah.
Unsolicited.
I didn't even have to provoke you. Yeah.
You just came in here ranting. You got a little pep in your step lately, Ben.
Hey, I'll tell you what. Tomorrow's not November the 1st, but Thursday is, and it feels mighty good to be in the thick of a Conference USA race, you know, versus where we were a season ago. I think we're 4-4 overall, you know, with two straight losses on the horizon to North Texas and Florida Atlantic. So it feels good. Dogs 6-2, 4-1. Beck, let's go ahead. Let's thank our sponsors.
Right, we got Brennan Dodge, Dairy Queen of Ruston and El Dorado, Walpole Tire and Service, Scott Seafood, Ideal Portable Buildings, Brister's Smokehouse Barbecue, and O'Neill Gas.
And also, we'd like to thank our title sponsor, First National Bank. As always, you can call us, you can text us on the Fairway Carts hotline, 888-993-7762. You know Robbie from Chalmette's calling in. How about you beat him to the punch? You call us, you give us your thoughts. Beck, just to get things going, I have a text on the personal text line.
That's my favorite text line.
Tech didn't take a day off, but Jamar did. I know that puts a smile on your face. The Dogs win, and Jamar doesn't play well.
Well, you have a point, Ben, and that's I truly do want Jamar to do well. The part of me that gives me the little satisfaction is that maybe you were wrong, but we do this every week, Ben. Every week, Jamar completed less than 50% of his passes this week. Give me your honest opinion. Where are you at right now?
Listen, I know, you know, we didn't come into this show saying this is where we were going to start, but this is where we're starting.
It's our show. We start where we want to start.
Yeah, you've opened a can of beans in here. So here we go. I'm not here to tell you that Jamar played all that well. Obviously, he didn't. 17 of 35, 217 yards, one touchdown. That's not getting a poem written. That's not winning a Heisman Trophy. Heck, that's not even winning an all-conference honor at the end of the season.
Which is the bet we have.
Yeah, well, we'll also have that, you know, next week. He'll be named to the all-conference team in week 9.
Oh, okay. All right.
After he goes on the road and beats Mississippi State. But anyways, that's beside the point. You talk about Tech's win. It wasn't pretty. Florida Atlantic jumped out to an early lead. But
I wish our listeners could just we should do a screenshot of the week every week, just our text messages throughout the game, because they weren't optimistic early on.
No. Tabes, are we on Facebook Live tonight?
We're about to be.
Yeah, you can watch us on Facebook Live as well, Sports Talk 977 on Facebook as well. But anyways, Beck, yeah, my text messages weren't great during the show. But
During
the game. Yeah. I'm flustered right now. But let me tell you this. How many big throws did Jamar make with his back up against the wall?
And I love that.
Five of 11 for 140 yards on third down. Third down equals money down. Dogs win on the road.
I'm great with that, and I love it. I love that we brought home the W. And I don't even think Jamar, this offense is set up to where Jamar has to play good to win. And I'm really
obviously not.
I'm really thankful for that.
Yeah.
So hear me say that.
Yeah.
Now,
Thanksgiving's coming up next month. You can thank
Skip does say in this press conference today, yeah, Ben, I listened and I watched.
Good to hear.
He said Jamar's playing smart football. I don't disagree with that.
I hope not.
Because he's not turning the ball over. He made some unbelievable throws in some really tough crunch time
situations.
How about
that throw down the sideline to George Scott? Jared Goff couldn't make that throw.
No way. But he also misses a ton of super easy throws
Yeah.
But so, I'm not a quarterback, Ben. I know you missed throws in your sixth grade year.
Yeah, well, you know.
But he's not turning the ball over. He's not costing us the game. So I ain't mad. I ain't that mad is what I'm saying.
Are you happy that we're winning?
I'm very happy we're winning. I'm happy that the rest of our team is playing well enough to where we can get a win without Jamar throwing for 3 touchdowns and 300 yards.
Yeah, and Skip said in his press conference today, you know, I'm not willing to sacrifice 500-plus total yards of offense if that means two or three turnovers. And I see his point. Also, hold on. I also understand from a fan's perspective wanting more. Like, I understand that.
That's where I've been all season. I just want more.
But yeah.
I'm not mad at what we have. I just want more.
Yeah, I agree. And that's totally fine. And I'm not saying you should be satisfied with the quarterback play. But a win is a win. Like, when I look up in 2039 and I'm a grandpa, I'm not going to be like, man, you remember 2018 when Tech went 9-3? Man, we got six U's next to that game, six ugly wins. Like, nobody gives a rip about that. Neither do I. All you can do is put your head down and go back to work the following week.
Absolutely, I agree. We're not in disagreement to that.
All right,
I would love a real convincing win, but that's, you know, this is the life we live in. It's 2018. Nobody has what they really want, quote unquote.
Yeah, it's a.
So you're right. We got a W in Boca Raton on Friday night. The odds were against us. We snapped FAU's 10-game home winning streak.
Also ended North Texas's 9-game home winning streak.
Right.
Call us the home wreckers.
The home wreckers. Devin Singletary is a man, and he will play on Sundays,
yeah,
and I will draft him on my fantasy team.
Yeah,
but
well,
the Dogs did what they needed to do.
I got a question for
what?
You. Tech is bowl eligible for a fifth straight year.
I ain't even thinking about a bowl.
I'm so glad that that's how you answer that question.
I seriously could care less. We have so many games left, and I want that conference championship.
Yes, that's exactly what I was going to say. Obviously, it's nice to get to your fifth straight bowl. But the goal is not to go to a bowl game.
Yeah, and I don't want coaches to be like, oh, whoo, going to our fifth straight bowl, probably going to win.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want them thinking about bowl games either.
No. And, you know, I think that.
Oh, you just love the bowl stat. That's your favorite
stat.
Oh,
really?
Yeah. You always bring it up and you say, but Beck, what's more important, a conference championship or four straight bowl wins?
Really?
You ask me that question every week.
Okay, well,
listen to the podcast. Check it.
I'm pretty sure that you're just, yeah, you're talking out the side of your ear right now. But I think a bowl game has become the floor for this program. I think it's expected to go to a bowl game year in and year out. It doesn't move the needle that much for me.
Not when you only need six wins to do it.
Well, we're getting more than six this year. It'll move the needle for me in December. Like, when we're preparing for a bowl game, it'll be pretty nice to.
And depending on how many wins, depending on the quality, the type of bowl game we get.
Yeah.
I don't want to go to the Independence Bowl and play ULM. I'm sorry. I don't want to.
I don't blame you. I don't blame
you. Part of me wants to. I lied a little bit. Part of me wants to do that, but.
Yeah. Well, if you want to go hang out at the State Fair in Shreveport, you're one of dozens.
I really don't want to.
Yeah. I don't think many are really begging to go to the eyeball as well. So I think a bowl game's the expectation within this program. You know, as far as the floor goes, but there's a lot more on the horizon. It starts this week on the road in Stark, Vegas at Mississippi State. I talked about last week how that's the worst town or city, whatever you want to call it, in the entire country. If you drive down the Natchez Trace Parkway, please text or call me before you do. I'll be quick to say a prayer. Neil Price, play-by-play voice of the Bulldogs, will join us at 6:30. Neil joined us a year ago. Phenomenal. He'll really help us break down this Mississippi State team. I know they're 21st in the country, but it's really a interesting first year under Joe Moorhead. 5-3 overall. They picked up a big win at home against Texas A&M.
Yeah, I'm Saturday sorry to night. Everybody. Did I pick Mississippi?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's my fault.
Yeah, you missed out on your five locks of the week. Beck won't be commenting for the remainder of the show. He'll be trying to pick out five locks that he's going to actually get right. Brooke Storr, head coach of the Lady Texters, join us at 7 p.m. Coach Storr and her.
Is it already that time, Ben?
Basketball season's here. Duncan Dogs start Thursday night, exhibition, Union College.
Jacked up about football, I forgot about basketball.
Yeah.
I'm excited it's here.
Yeah, I love basketball season. Brooke Storr joins at 7. Lady Texters start their season next Tuesday night against LSU Alexandria. right here on Sports Talk 97.7. Yes, you heard the bad news. We will not have a show next week. If Beck's willing to do a podcast, I don't know if he's willing to work for free or not, but we'll see. I hope to have a podcast. I plan on having a podcast next week. Beck.
What?
Do you work for free? Okay, you don't. You made it clear. You made it clear.
James will do it with
no,
you.
No, I'm done with you. Yeah, I'm done with you. Have fun making it in the radio world when you're not willing to put in the time. Jalen Ferguson, I don't know if you've heard of the young man, plays defensive end for the Dawgs, had a sack strip against Florida Atlantic, covered his own fumble.
Talk about that, because he got credit for the sack.
He was closest to the ball.
He was closest to the ball, which is funny to me.
That it is funny, but like as many sacks as he's gotten, he deserves an easy one.
Right. And think about, you know, like Drew Brees broke the record the other day, and he broke it in glorious fashion on like a 60-yard touchdown pass, right? And then Jalen Ferguson breaks Tech's, is that right, Tech's all-time record? Conference
yeah.
USA?
No, he broke the Conference USA all-time record, tied the Tech record.
Tied the Tech record, Conference USA, whatever, on a play that he didn't even touch the quarterback, which is kind of funny.
That's pretty sick. He's now six sacks away from the all-time record in NCAA. I don't know if you know the guy named T-Sizzle Terrell Suggs is who he's chasing, who had 44 career sacks.
Do you think he gets it?
I don't know.
You said six more to go?
Yeah, yeah, five games left. No, four regular season, one bowl game.
Oh, you're counting the bowl game?
Yeah.
Oh, he can do it.
Yeah, he can make it. Ferguson was also named to the Bednarik Award semifinalist. Speaking of the Bednarik Award, are you wondering what that is?
Yes, I am, Ben.
Top 20 players were named semifinalists. This award goes to the best 20 defensive players in the country. He was the only other G5 player named to it other than Ed Oliver at Houston. Mr. Ferguson is a stud.
He's been a blast to watch this year. I think
he's worth the price of admission.
Oh, I was so sad last year.
I like watching him rush the passer.
Right. If you just focus, you know, you do that thing where you just focus on one player for a play and you're willing to like miss out on what else is going on, I highly encourage you to watch Jalen Ferguson. He is a man and he works hard.
He does.
And I'm so glad that he is different this year than he was last year, because last year I was sad.
He did. He made first team all conference in that year. You were sad, but
I mean, I was still. I mean, he's two games. He's throwing up four sacks in one game.
That's right. That's right.
Who doesn't want to watch that?
Before we get to our first time out, real quick, former Bulldogs in the NFL, Vernon Butler had a nice week, three tackles, also had a fumble recovery for the Panthers. Ryan Allen punted four times for 37 yards. Did you see that tackle he had against the Bills?
No, I didn't.
Well, it was sick.
Okay, that's funny. Ryan Allen punted for a 37 yard average. Our boy Dyer.
46.
46. He's going to the league.
He's going to the league. Trent Taylor had one catch for 7 yards. Tremont Williams and Kentrell Bryce combined for three tackles as well. We're going to go ahead. We're going to get to our first time out. When we come back from the break, we're going to recap Tech's win at Florida Atlantic. Take a little in-depth look. Tell Beck where he's wrong, because he's usually wrong. You're listening to Bleed Tech Blue Radio, Sports Talk 97.7.
First National Bank, the uncommon bank, banking on a first-name basis. Uncommon, people, service, and convenience. Uncommon, dedication, trust, and courtesy. First National Bank, beyond banking, with 100 years of experience. Uncommonly close to you. First National Bank, the uncommon bank. www.theuncommonbank.com. Member FDIC.
Walpole Tire and Service has been a proud La Tech supporter for over 60 years. So when the Bulldogs hit the field or hardwood, make sure your vehicle is game ready. Let the staff at Walpole get you safely to and from the game with brake repair, alignments, and computer diagnostics, plus all major brands of tires, including Goodyear, Michelin, and BF Goodrich. Walpole Tire and Service, a name you can trust. Ruston and West Monroe. Visit WalpoleTire.com. Fall is time to get out and do stuff. Great weather is perfect for heading into the woods, tailgating, or going on a camping trip. And it's better with a new EasyGo from Fairway Carts. From an EasyGo multi-passenger cart for family fun to EasyGo utility carts for the tough stuff. Available in gas or electric, and Fairway has all you need to customize your EasyGo. See the entire EasyGo line today at Fairway Carts in Minden, just north of I-20 at exit 49. Call 800-960-CART.
DQ fans, manage your hanger before it manages you with the all-new DQ Hungry Up Deal. Your new hanger management system with three deals meant to satisfy any size appetite. Whether you're hungry-ish, hungry, or straight-up hangry, you can enjoy three, four, or five 100% all-white meat chicken strips, plus fries and a world-famous mini blizzard treat, starting at just $4. It's the all-new Hungry Up Deal, only at your DQ. This is fan food, not fast food.
You gotta love it. Tech sports, that is. That's why there's Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by First National Bank. Call or text the show on the Fairway Cards hotline, 888-993-7762.
Welcome back. Bleed Tech Blue Radio. Beck, got quite a few texts on the text line.
Oh.
We'll start it on the personal text line. Quint says, where can this program be in 5 years at the rate we are improving? Quint, I will address
SEC.
That. I will address that in the last segment of the show. Also have a text from our good friend Colin. Hopefully the team and the coaches are preparing like this is a bowl week. And then Bill, with a blast from the past, November 1st, 1997, homecoming at Alabama, Louisiana Tech 26, Alabama 20. Beck, the Dogs took down the Crimson Tide. A lot of ticked off fans. Bill also says 21 years later, the Dogs go on the road and ruin Mississippi State's homecoming.
First that week of sweet. November, Tech upsets SEC opponents is what I'm hearing you say, Ben.
Yeah, that well, you're spot on. You're spot on when you talk about that. Now, Beck, let's go ahead. Let's talk a little bit about Tech's win at Florida Atlantic. And, you know, we had the opportunity to – or I had the opportunity to sit in on Coach Holtz's press conference today, and he talked about Florida Atlantic. And I thought Florida Atlantic was a talented team. And they clearly started quickly. They go seven plays on the first drive, punch it in for an easy touchdown, and go up 7-0. They go up later 10-0. But when they were running the speed sweep, the play worked pretty dang well.
Yeah, that was quickly after the three times in a row they gained 15, 16, 17 yards of carry on that. Yeah. That we texted each other and we're like, oh boy.
Here we go.
Here we go. And that was, and honestly, that was what I was really afraid of. And I had a couple people ask me, what were you expecting for the game? Like, what, I mean, did it play out like you thought it was? And I think I said this last week or maybe the post-game show, but like 100% with 100% honesty, like I wouldn't have been surprised if Tech blew them out and I wouldn't have been surprised if Tech got blown out.
Well, I think
now how we got there, I have no idea. Like,
yeah, and we were talking about before the game, like we both predicted Tech to win last week. And we're always right, so there's nothing new about that. But we texted each other, and we were like, man, we don't have a great feeling about this game. And I think it was in the most part due to Devin Singletary. And he showed how good he was. Holtz talked about today, Tech missed 25 tackles in this game, which is nearly three times as many that they have missed, you know, in the seven prior games. So if that doesn't tell you how good the dude is,
I mean,
he's a dude.
He's, I mean, and I don't even know if they count the tackles where people don't even touch him.
Yeah, he makes
you
miss.
He had a couple of those.
Yeah, I mean, on the day, he rushes for 171 yards on 19 carries.
And honestly, I'm surprised he didn't get the ball 10 more times.
Dude, that's exactly what I was going to say. Why do you only give it to him 19 times? Because I can assure you, we talk a lot about how Jamar Smith struggled in this game. Florida Atlantic says, hold my beer. Because I'll show you struggling at the quarterback position. Rafe Peavy got the start. The fifth-year grad transfer from SMU. Might should have stuck it out in Dallas playing for the Mustangs because Peavy was pretty terrible. He threw for 51 yards on that first drive. He only finished with 115 yards for the rest of the game. So the dude doesn't deserve to be on a college football field after watching him play. So Tech was dominated for the first 24 minutes of this game, fall down 10-0, and then when you're down 10-0, what do? You always go straight to the hotline. You go to Robbie and Chalmette where he says, take the points, take the Dogs. What you got for me tonight, Robbie?
Yeah, Robbie Chamel. What y'all doing, baby?
Hey, just handling some radio business tonight, Robbie. What you doing down there?
That's right. Hey, I took a little 7-point pleaser on the dogs. They was 3.5-point dogs, but I ended up taking them with giving up points. And look what happened. Daddy made his ticket money for the Hoodats this weekend for the Rams. Got a big win coming in. But I tell you what, we're going to go up there to start Vegas where the beer is hot and the girls are heavy. And we're going to take care of business with 23.5 dogs. I go ahead and load the wagon on the Bulldogs. We're going to show them who the real Bulldogs are. I'll tell you that much. I said, we got a boy named Bradley who told me one time, last time, the Kroon came in to Joe IA. He said, we're going to show them who the real Bulldogs are. And we did. And we're going to do it again. Now, this is Robbie and Chalmette. Y'all get rich on the dog.
See you, Robbie. Thanks for the call. Robbie with that takes a 7.
I mean, the guy is just unbelievable. I mean, and he ain't wrong that much, and he's right. You bet on the dogs and on the season, you're in the green, Ben. Yeah, and he may be able to get enough money to charter a plane all the way from Chalmette, which, again, how this radio makes it down there.
That's Robbie
that's
and
just,
Chalmette
I mean,
for you.
It's because of his will, for sure.
That's Robbie and Chalmette. That's what he's good for. And he can truly do it all. Unnamed texter on the text line, do not see UAB losing 2, so Conference USA title seems out of reach. Do you agree? I will say this. The chances of winning the conference don't look great right now. But at the same time, you have to control what we can control. Tech has to control themselves in conference play, figure out a way to beat Rice, Southern Miss, might as well call them SMU as bad as they are after that loss to Charlotte. And Western Kentucky in the final week of the season, you go 7-1 in conference play and you see what happens. You look at UAB's final 3 games, which we'll talk about a little bit later on. They have UTSA this weekend, and they have Southern Miss, and then they go on the road to Murfreesboro to take on Middle Tennessee to wrap up the question. Good question. As always, you can call us, you can text us, just like Robbie did, 888-993-7762. Fairway Carts Hotline, we'd love to hear from you. So, Beck, Tech dominated for the first 24 minutes of this game before they finally put together a 70-yard drive. Jaquese Dancy caps it off with a 20-yard touchdown run. It was 10-7 at this point, and it really felt like the momentum in this ballgame began to shift.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. Dancy, it's always good to have him back looking healthy. He broke a couple tackles on that run, looked real good. That was, that's like you said, mentioned, it was a 70-yard drive. That does more for a team than I think any fan can really understand.
Yeah, from a confidence standpoint.
Yeah, that's a long way to go. So that was for sure encouraging to see. And you know, I think shortly after, you know, our text messages got a little more positive.
Yeah, they sure did. So on the ensuing drive, you know, Rafe Peavy decides that, hey, Sack Daddy's coming at me. I'm going to drop the football. Jalen Ferguson gets credit for the sack. Ferguson recovers as well. Tech goes 54 yards in 5 plays. I think the play of that drive, Jamar Smith rolls to his left. Mm. He throws a 40-yard missile to George Scott. And I think right after that, I posted on the Bleed Tech Blue message board as well as texting with you, and I said, that right there is why Jamar Smith is playing quarterback, you know, as maddening as he can be at quarterback sometimes. That's why he's the quarterback.
Yeah, that was an NFL throw for sure.
There are 8 quarterbacks in the NFL that can make that throw.
Yeah, it was like you said, a laser rocket. And we know some players that have said, like, he throws the ball so hard.
Yeah, I mean,
times when he literally needs to not throw the ball that hard.
Yeah, I mean, he's got all the talent in the world.
Oh, laser rocket arm.
It's just a matter of putting it together, you know, all at the same time.
And, you know, like, we've touched on that, too. You go to practices, I go to some practices, you go to most practices in the spring and fall, and so you see that Jamar. Coaches see that Jamar. Fans don't always see that Jamar.
But Jamar so going to Jamar.
But you come in here just all hot on Jamar.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, rightfully based on what you're seeing in practice.
And
we know we can do it.
And Tech capped off that drive with a 5-yard Cam McKnight touchdown. You talk about the second half, you know, a lot of punts on both sides. Florida Atlantic kicked themselves in the foot, it seemed like, all night long with penalties. You know, Tech was finally able to punch it in with around 7 minutes to go in the game. Jamar hits Teddy for a 15-yard touchdown. Teddy had another big night with 9 catches. He continues to showcase his stability from his slot position. I think he has 27 catches in the last 3 weeks, which he's playing extremely well. And, Beck, I have a really interesting question. And Rafe brought this up to us on the postgame show the other night, and he said, you know, you talk about the chemistry that Jamar has with Teddy Veal and why he doesn't have that with the other receivers. And so I was like, you know, that's an interesting question. So I went to look at it. Jamar completes 80% of his throws to Teddy Veal. To any or to the second through fourth receivers, you know, based on targets, he doesn't complete more than 56% to any of them. And I just wonder, why is that? And I think it's a combination. Obviously, Jamar's not throwing a beautiful ball every time. I'm not saying that, and don't even say that I said that because I didn't say it. But it shows you how much trust he has in Teddy. He knows where Teddy's going to be. Teddy knows where he's going to throw the football, and Teddy doesn't drop the football.
Yeah, we've heard time and time again of how hard Teddy practices and how that translates to a game. And you know, you don't. We talked about this in the postgame show. For a receiver out there at practice, if you're not practicing hard, it's not just an issue of like you getting better. It's timing. And so if you're not full on sprinting during practice and running your routes, like that's when you develop your timing with the quarterback. So we've heard that Teddy practices super hard, and a lot of that has to also do with the routes that Teddy's running, and a lot of those throws that Teddy gets are throws that they've repeatedly done over and over. Jamar knows he's going to be there.
They trust him.
And honestly, Teddy's not the deep threat guy for Tech.
Well, and my big thing, my point was this. You talk about the circus catch that Hardy made on the sideline. Phenomenal play, top 10 play, no doubt. But at the same time, like, what other kind of throw can Jamar make in a situation like that to Hardy? Like, he wasn't open. The DB have pinned him to the sideline.
Right.
Like, I understand you want a higher completion percentage. I get it. But where, like, on a ball like that, where else do you throw?
Yeah, it's just not a high percentage
like,
ball.
Like, he has to make a circus
right.
catch.
So that's what –
like,
there's
not a whole lot of separation outside.
Right. And that's what we're arguing is that, you know, Teddy's getting those high percentage throws.
Yes, he is.
And the other receivers aren't. And that's okay, and that's going to be on every team. You're going to obviously have a guy with a higher completion percentage. But when Teddy caught that touchdown, you texted and said that's his first touchdown this year. I was shocked by that.
Yeah.
I've watched every game, but I just hadn't realized that. But, you know, a lot of that has to do with just the routes they're running and Teddy being the go-to for sure guy and everybody else being like the taking a shot guy.
Absolutely. You know? So we're going to go ahead. We're going to get to our second timeout. When we come back from the break, be joined by Neil Price, play-by-play boys of the Mississippi State Bulldogs. You're listening to Bleed Tech Blue Radio Sports Talk 97.7.
At First National Bank, part of being the uncommon bank is a dedication to community involvement. We are dedicated to the communities we serve. First National Bank has the privilege of partnering with MedCamps of Louisiana for the 2017 Louisiana Tech football season. For every touchdown the Bulldogs score, FNB will donate $100 to MedCamps, a nonprofit organization that provides a residential camping experience free of charge to children living with special needs. Visit their website, medcamps.org, for more information on how you can help. First National Bank, we promise to be uncommon in all things we do. Member FDIC.
We're stirring up some scary good deals at Brennan Dodge in Ruston during Jeep Adventure Days. With huge savings on the Ultimate Freedom Vehicle, get a 2018 Jeep Wrangler four-door for only $30,900. Get a 2019 Jeep Cherokee Latitude, only $20,900. Save $7,000 on the 2018 Jeep Grand Cherokee Limited and get a 2018 Jeep Compass Sport for only $19,900. Don't miss scary good deals at the all-new Brennan Dodge in Ruston.
Bulldog fans, this is Chris Brister from Brister's Smokehouse, and I'd like to invite you to our new location, 1420 Cooktown Road in Ruston, across the street from our old location. Stop in and try our famous scatter load on your choice of four different types of bread. Our barbecue nachos are piled high with your favorite type of meat, and you have to taste for yourself our tender and juicy smoke-cooked chicken, my personal favorite. So whether you're in town at a Tech game or just in the mood for the best barbecue in town, come see us at Brister's Smokehouse, 1420 Cooktown Road in Ruston.
The City of Ruston, in cooperation with Louisiana Tech University, will host the AVTT Traveling Vietnam Memorial Wall on the campus of Louisiana Tech Thursday, Friday, Saturday, November 8th, 9th, and 10th on the green space on Tech Drive just past the railroad overpass. Thursday is Education Day. Friday is the Honoring Our Heroes celebration at 11 a.m. And Saturday is Military Appreciation Day. Viewing is free to the public. Brought to you in part by the North Louisiana Military Museum in Ruston.
Don't have time to keep up with Louisiana Tech sports the way you'd like to? No worries. Just listen to Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by First National Bank. Call or text the show on the Fairway Cards Hotline, 888-993-7762.
Welcome back, Bleed Tech Blue Radio. I'm Ben Carlisle. Louisiana Tech travels to Mississippi State this weekend for a big showdown in Starkville. And now joining us on the Fairway Cards Hotline, Neil Price, play-by-play voice of the Bulldogs. How you doing tonight, Neil?
Doing good, guys. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Thanks for joining us again. Neil joined us last year as well before Louisiana Tech's matchup with Mississippi State. Neil, just to get things going, I know there was a coaching change in the offseason for Mississippi State. Joe Moorhead comes over after spending the last 2 years at Penn State as their offensive coordinator. The Bulldogs got off to a little slower start, especially offensively, than maybe was expected, but it seems like, especially when you look at last week's performance against Texas A&M, he's really beginning to figure out the strengths of Nick Fitzgerald and what this offense can really do. What's the overall perception around the program and how things are going in year one?
Well, I think everybody is kind of figuring out that, you know, there was a little bit of a learning curve on both sides. You know, the players had to adapt to basically a new staff, and, you know, those guys had to adapt to the personnel. And I think it has been a little bit of a year-long process. You know, they were really good in the first three games against Stephen F. Austin at Kansas State and against Louisiana. And, you know, I think within that, you look at it and maybe there was a little bit of fool's gold there in terms of how good or how smooth things went offensively. And then, you know, Kentucky's got a real defense, and they went up there and learned that maybe all the things they thought they were doing, they maybe weren't doing as well as they thought after three games. So, you know, there was a little bit of trying to find themselves. They reinvented some things against Auburn and really got the ground game going there. And then, you know, had the off week and couldn't replicate that at LSU against a really good defense, and then came back against A&M and started to figure out some things in the passing game. And really, I thought were much better there, because A&M's so good at defending the run that they kind of had to lean on that, you know, and that was encouraging, because I don't know if 3 weeks ago we would have said that anybody would have felt real good about leaning on the passing game. But Stephen Guidry was great, Louisiana guy, and, you know, we've all been kind of waiting on him to have that big game, and he and Nick kind of got on the same page, and we saw a flash of it from Osiris Mitchell in the opening game against Stephen F. Austin, and he was really good against A&M too, two big, tall targets out there. So they got the pieces. It's just a matter of everybody being on the same page and executing well, and hopefully last week was a big shot in the arm in that regard.
And I know that, you know, you talk about what Nick Fitzgerald is as a quarterback. He obviously runs the ball extremely well, an impressive blend of size and speed. He's had Kylin Hill in the backfield next to him this year. Hill didn't get a ton of carries a season ago, has really emerged this year. I know he missed the Texas A&M game, but talk about the role he's played in the offense and kind of lightening up that load that Fitzgerald has to handle in the run game.
Well, you know, ideally he would take a lot more off, but if you look at the number of carries that Nick's had this year, he's already carried well over 100 times this year. I think it's over 120 total. So I don't know that he's taken away carries per se with this RPO offense, but you know, Kylin is a guy who has a ton of speed. He's the most explosive ball carrier I think State has when you look at that roster of running backs. And the luxury is that, you know, if he can't go like he, you know, this past Saturday against Texas A&M when he was banged up, you've got a guy who's rushed for 1,000 yards a couple of times in his career who's backing him up. So, you know, they've got an embarrassment of riches at that position. And, you know, hopefully Kylan gets to play some this week. I think everything's looking good. You know, he's been back out there and he's moving around, so hopefully we'll see him again. And, you know, if we do, I expect he'll come out and he'll play well. He's a great competitor and, again, a guy who has a lot of real physical tools that he can use to his advantage.
And you mentioned an embarrassment of riches at running back. You shift to the other side of the football. What Bob Shoup has defensively on that defensive front when you talk about Jeffrey Simmons, Montez Sweat, probably the best duo in college football along the defensive line. Talk about the defensive line and how special they've been this year.
Well, you know, you brought up the two guys that everybody talks about, and with good reason. And, you know, Jeffrey and Montez have done exactly what everybody thought they would do this year. They've been outstanding. And, you know, they kind of overshadow really the amount of overall talent that Mississippi State has on the defensive front. I mean, Braxton Hoyette didn't get to play because he was banged up against Texas A&M, but here's a guy who can play at the next level, a really good defensive tackle. Gary Green's a really good pass rusher on that other edge opposite Sweat. And, you know, people don't talk about Gary a whole lot, but he's got all the tools. And then when you get in that second and third, you know, rotation on the D-line, you know, I mean, they've got Kobe Jones, the kid from here in Starkville, who plays behind Gary Green. And, you know, there's not a lot of drop-off when you go to Kobe. Fletcher Adams is the third-string defensive end behind Montez Sweat and Chauncey Rivers on that side of the ball, and Fletcher's making plays, tackles for loss in the fourth quarter of that game against A&M the other night. I mean, they've got some really solid depth up front, and it's nice to be able to run those guys in and out and keep them fresh. And in the secondary, you know, they've got some good leadership from Jonathan Abram and Mark McLaurin, two older guys that have played a lot of football. Those guys have helped out in the secondary. Getting Jamal Peters back on the corner helped. Cameron Dantzler's Louisiana guy who's played well back there, really doing a nice job defending passes and got a few interceptions this year. And I think their linebackers don't get nearly enough credit. You know, Errol Thompson's a guy that had a good freshman year, and he hasn't had any drop-off as a sophomore now. He's played very well. I mean, he was hitting people hard last Saturday and picked off a pass. He got a couple interceptions. You know, and then you've got Leo Lewis and Willie Gay, two guys who've been in the program for a few years now on either side there in the linebacking core. And personally, that's where I thought maybe the questions were coming into the year because they just don't have a ton of depth, but they've been healthy there. Errol's a smart guy. He does a great job getting them in the right play defensively, and they've really been able to kind of put everything together on that side. And give Coach Hoop some credit too now because, I mean, I think there was some pressure on him coming in because of the talent they had, and you didn't know, again, new staff and a different set of players for him, how he was going to use the talent and do those things. And I think he's used it as well as anybody could have asked. I mean, these guys are exceptional.
Yeah, and I definitely think Errol Thompson deserves, you know, the praise that you gave him. He's an impressive linebacker to watch when it comes to running sideline to sideline. For you, for Mississippi State to win Saturday night, what are a few of your keys to victory for the Bulldogs?
Well, I mean, this sounds real simple, and the question's been asked around here plenty of times. You know, what was the difference against Texas A&M? And it's got to complete some passes, you know. I mean, you can't be one-dimensional, and that sounds so simple. I know that, and Tech's going to put a pretty good pass rusher out there against them that's going to make that hard, you know. But you got to complete some passes. You can't be one-dimensional, and then you need that defense to show up, and again, just go out there and play that the way they've played, you know, through the first two-thirds of this season. If they do that, I think State's going to have a chance to win the game. You know, the secondary is going to get tested a little bit more. Coach Holtz likes to throw it around a little bit. They got some guys who can catch it and make some plays. So, you know, it'll definitely be a challenge, you know, and I think that, you know, Louisiana Tech's got a chip on its shoulder because these guys are having a great year. They're still in the hunt in Conference USA. They gave LSU a fit when they played them. So, you know, they're not going to be intimidated coming in here. So I think it'll be a good game. I really do.
Absolutely, Neil. We thanks for joining us on Bleed Tech Blue Radio tonight. We're looking forward to a solid night in Starkville Saturday night.
All right, guys. Thank you.
Neil Price, play-by-play voice, Mississippi State Bulldogs. And, Beck, you know, you look at this Mississippi State team, and Coach Holtz talked about them. Defensively, Jeffrey Simmons, Montez Sweat up front, They're the best duo in the country. I know Clemson has four first-rounders on their defensive line. When you get an opportunity to watch these two dudes, Jeffrey Simmons is exceptional. He had a 100-yard fumble return for a touchdown against Tech last year, had a block punt for a touchdown. He impacts the game in so many ways, 10.5 tackles for loss. Sweat has 11.5 tackles for loss, 9 sacks. It's going to be some tough sledding for the Dogs Saturday night.
Yeah, I'm going to be honest, Ben. I think I kind of expect Mississippi State to look at this game a little casually.
And they do have Alabama next week.
They have Alabama next week. They ain't worried about Tech.
The Dogs.
The way Tech's been playing on the road, I got nothing negative to say.
Go ahead and send them to the hotel right now.
I mean, you might as well. Just let them practice there all week long. I mean, what's the spread on this?
20.5.
I saw 23.5.
Did you?
Yeah, just now.
Oh, Robbie and Shelmet? That means the lines went up. It opened at 20.5.
Did it?
But, yeah, that's fine. 23.5.
What I just looked at was 23.5. So
three touchdowns.
I think Dogs cover all day, and I'll get to that in the last segment.
Easy cover.
Easy. I mean, this – there's only one other easier cover that I have on my list today, and I'll get to it.
I
bet you could guess what it is, but I think Dogs cover that easy. I really do. I won't even say that. I'm not going to be surprised if it's closer than everybody thinks.
Yeah, we'll see. And we're going to break down this game in its entirety in the next segment. But you look back at last year's matchup, Mississippi State wins 57-21. Jamar Smith turns it over 5 times. It was a game that he was playing against his home state school, a school that he almost went to in Mississippi State. You know, they were his second choice. They had offered him. He could have easily gone there. I think he was trying to do a little bit too much, and I asked Coach Holtz that today. You know, how do you tone him back a little bit? How do you pull back the reins and say, hey, let's make the easy throws? And that's what he talked about. He said he thinks that they threw a little bit too much on him too early last year. He can't turn the football over. You definitely can't turn it over on the road in front of what will be a hostile crowd. Mississippi State has some of the best fans in the country. Jamar's just got to play his game.
We'll see if them cowbells rattle.
Yeah, well, will SEC Jamar show up?
That's true.
Hey, if, you know, 330 yards.
SEC Jamar is my favorite Jamar.
330 yards, 3 touchdowns against number 3 LSU. He's got it in him, but it's just a matter of doing the simple things. Make the simple read, make the simple throw, and I think he'll be all right. So we're going to go ahead. We're going to take our next time out. When we come back from the break, we'll dive into this Mississippi State football team, kind of see, you know, give you a real good perspective on what to expect. I don't know if Beck's really going to watch this game, so I got to really make sure I engrave some nice stats so he's prepared for the show next week. You're listening to Bleed Tech Blue Radio, Sports Talk 97.7.
The Bleed Tech Blue Radio Show is brought to you in part by O'Neill Gas. O'Neill Gas offers propane delivery to homes and businesses throughout North Louisiana. For more information, go to O'NeillGas.com.
First National Bank, the Uncommon Bank. Banking on a first name basis. Uncommon. People, service, and convenience. Uncommon. Dedication, trust, and courtesy. First National Bank. Beyond banking with 100 years of experience. Uncommonly close to you. First National Bank. The Uncommon Bank. www.theuncommonbank.com. Member FDIC.
I remember the moment.
I'll never forget that moment.
As long as I live.
As long as I live.
That moment, we arrived in the scene.
The storm had nearly destroyed the area.
This was our own community. Friends, family, people we grew up with, went to school with, we were there to help.
Several of us were working to rescue a family.
They made it down to the storm cellar, but the house collapsed on top of the cellar door and trapped them.
We had chainsaws going, and we had to use Humvees and heavy machinery to move massive trees and debris.
We got them out.
We helped a lot of people out.
It felt good to know I could really make a difference.
Right here, close to home, in my state.
It was one of those life-changing moments where I realized I am making a difference in these people's lives and mine. I'm a citizen soldier in the National Guard.
You can serve part-time and be there the moment your community needs you. Learn more at NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Louisiana National Guard. Aired by the Louisiana Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Get ready for a healthy dose of Louisiana Tech sports. Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by First National Bank, is back on the radio. Call or text the show on the Fairway Cards hotline, 888-993-7762.
Welcome back, Bleed Tech Blue Radio. Louisiana Tech travels to Starkville Saturday night, 6:30 p.m. kickoff, SEC Network. It will definitely be the number one game on TV in prime time as the Dogs travel to the Dogs to try to pull off an upset. Beck, you know, you were talking about Tech covering. And when I look at this Mississippi State team, I'll be honest with you. I predicted Tech to beat them a year ago. But this team, to me, is a really bad matchup for Tech when you look at their strengths versus Tech's strengths. The Mississippi State's strengths are defense.
Right.
Tech's strengths is defense. So that tells me that we could be in for a low-scoring affair, correct?
Correct.
And then I look at the both offenses. It's going to be incredibly difficult for Tech to establish a run game. When you got Montez Sweat, you got Jeffrey Simmons, it's going to be hard to run the football. On the opposite side, Mississippi State, Nick Fitzgerald can't throw worth a lick.
Yeah, but you don't know what you're going to get out of him, you know? Like, with his escapability and being able to run the ball like he does, it's going to open up something.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. I think his ability to run is really going to give Tech some problems in this game. And, I'm not saying that he doesn't give people problems every week. He ran for over 100 yards against LSU, but he threw four interceptions. If you tell me right now he goes 8 of 24 for 59 yards and throws four interceptions against Tech,
that's honestly why
I don't. I'll beat you at the DAC. That's a dog win.
Yeah, that's why I don't think that. That's why I think Tech will cover, because I'd be surprised if Mississippi State even puts up much more than 23 points.
Really?
Yeah. So I'm not saying Tech's going to put up.
So you're saying this ain't Dak Prescott, this is Nick Fitzgerald.
Yeah, it's Nicky Fitz.
And as long as Tech doesn't turn it over, makes them drive the length of the field, you think we got a shot?
Yeah, I do. I don't think Mississippi State hangs 40 points like they did last year, 50 or whatever they did last
57.
Year.
57. Whew. Yeah.
That bad, huh? That was one of those games where it wasn't
that
bad. That
was when your boy Weston Elliott threw a mop-up TD, baby.
That's right. My boy.
Your boy. TD. Don't you love the backup quarterback on all programs?
I do. Every single one of my favorite player in every team.
Yeah, you should hear Beck hollering for Taysom Hill to start over Drew Brees. It's getting a little ridiculous. Anyway, so looking at the rest of this Mississippi State offense, we mentioned Nick Fitzgerald completing 49% of his throws, 6 touchdowns, 7 interceptions. You heard Neil Price say Kylin Hill is expected to return with Alabama on the horizon. It wouldn't surprise me if they try to limit his snaps. You know, he has 76 carries this year. I wouldn't expect much more than 10 in this game. Do we have a text on the text line?
Yeah, but it was. I think I already answered it. It was about Tech. He said, Matthew said, Tech didn't cover against 0-8 UTEP. What makes you think they'll cover against State? I just don't think State's going to hang a million points on Tech.
Yeah, Tech also covered
against number six LSU. It's strictly like
gut feeling.
No, I mean, duh, everyone is. But I'm just saying it's strictly like our defense versus their offense. I just don't think they do that.
I think that's fair, but I mean,
23.5 is a lot of points.
Yeah,
it's like what you got on tests sometimes, and you had to work hard for it.
Yeah, you ain't lying. I really studied. So Kylin Hill expected to return. Aris Williams, backup running back, started a season ago. Plenty talented enough. And then, like Neil Price mentioned, Osiris Mitchell, Stephen Guidry outside, 2 6-foot-4 receivers. Keith Mixon out of the slot. He's only got 6 catches, but he's a dangerous receiver. So those are kind of the 5 or 6 players offensively to look at. Defensively, we mentioned Jeffrey Simmons. We mentioned Montez Sweat. Jonathan Abram leads them in tackles from his safety spot, has 62 stops on the year. Errol Thompson at linebacker. I think Thompson is the best linebacker in the SEC, not named Devin White. When you watch him play, he's a joy to watch. He really runs sideline to sideline. Like Neil Price said, he'll really stick you. Mark McLaurin at safety is pretty solid. Leo Lewis, 5-star recruit linebacker. He's a junior. He'll start in the middle, 36 tackles on the year. Cameron Dantzler, Louisiana native, leads the Bulldogs with two interceptions on the year. And then one injury note, Brian Cole starts at the star spot for Mississippi State, really a hybrid linebacker type player. He's out for the season, upper body injury. So who knows, maybe Tech can take advantage of that. But Beck, when you look at some of the things that are going in Tech's direction in this game, some positives. Mississippi State's only forced 8 turnovers in 8 games. They don't turn you over.
Right.
Now, Coach Holtz talked about, I believe it was on the Sports Company yesterday, they don't run any exotic blitzes. They just line up and whip you. That's what they do. They don't blitz you. They don't run all these crazy Manny Diaz-type schemes. They line up and they whip you. That's what makes them good. So if Tech's going to have success offensively, you obviously have to try to run the football. I mean, you can't go into this game. I know Tech threw it 50 times against LSU, but I don't think Tech can block Sweat and Simmons 50 times without getting Jamar killed.
Yeah, well, is there an advantage being this? I mean, like Skip touched on that today, saying this is a pretty late in the season to be playing a non-conference game.
Well, if you look at the SEC, they like to schedule some of these non-conference games.
A little little tune-up game,
yeah,
get back from injuries.
Yeah, especially before Bama.
Right.
You know.
Yeah, so my question is, there's a lot of film on Mississippi State and what works and doesn't work against them. Is that an advantage, more of an advantage than 3 games in the season?
Well, I think it's pretty simple, you know, from an offensive perspective. Fitzgerald's what makes them go.
Right.
Defensively, yes, there's plenty of tape out there. There's plenty of know what to do.
I mean, obviously
they make
not,
it incredibly difficult to do it.
Right, but I mean, Skip ain't scheming them on how to throw it deep 20 times a game because Jamar's going to have 0.7 seconds to throw the ball.
Like, yeah, we got to get open quick.
We got to get open quick, and it's going to be a lot of what Tech honestly does, a lot of those swing passes, slant passes probably we're going to see. I would imagine more of that. Do you agree?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think you'll see Teddy Veal. You'll see Hardy get some slant. You'll see the bubble screens to Veal, to Alfred Smith. You know, with Bonnet questionable this week, hopefully he returns. You know, maybe he's a guy that can push the ball down the field, back their safeties off the line of scrimmage some to try to work some of that intermediate game. You know, as much flack as Jamar catches, like, he's pretty good in the intermediate
right.
game. You know, he's not as bad as his rep. His problem is throwing the ball down the field on a deep ball or holding on to the ball too long. You know, when you can get open in the middle of the field, he can find you. So I think, you know, offensively, Tech has to try to establish a run game with Dancy and McKnight and Henderson.
Let me tell you my concern real quick.
Let's see.
My concern is this is a non-conference game, and not that Skip ain't trying to win it. I think he's trying to win like every coach does every week. But my concern is that Dancy doesn't get the playing time and there's heavy carries on some of our slower, more power backs, which to me, like, that just seems like a terrible matchup for Sweat and Simmons.
And I understand your concern. All right, keep going.
No, I was going to say,
I understand that concern,
pick that apart.
But at the same time, I'm not saying throw the game. Duh.
No, I'm not either. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
I mean, nobody would say, oh, he didn't run Dancy 20 times. He was trying to lose the game. It's like,
okay.
You can argue your power backs.
Yeah, and so I think the power backs in this type of game fit better. I think when you talk about Dancy, McKnight, and Henderson, I'd like to see McKnight and Henderson more in this game because I think they fit better. So we'll see. I personally would not give the ball to Dancy 20 times because is winning a Power 5 game important? Yes. Like, it obviously is. But you still have 3 more conference games that are must wins.
Right.
Like, you have to win the last 3 conference games if you want a chance to potentially get into the Conference USA Championship. So I think that's the big question heading into this week. Can Tech score enough offensively against a defense allowing 13.5 points a game? It's going to be tough sledding, but we'll see what happens. So that's kind of a breakdown of Mississippi State. 5-3 team, probably better than they get credit for. You know, their 3 losses are Kentucky, Florida, and LSU. So they've had some tough losses. So real quick, before we get to our timeout, before we go to Brooks Store with the Lady Texters, we're going to take a quick look around Conference USA this past weekend, what's coming up this week. We mentioned in the open, Tech goes on the road, knocks off Florida Atlantic 21-13. Saturday action, UAB, third shutout of the season. They keep it rolling, beat UTEP 19-0. The Blazers are 7-1 overall. They will host UTSA this week. A.J. Erdely, their starting quarterback, is questionable for this game. I know he left the UTEP win early. We'll see if he plays. Florida International pummels Western Kentucky 38-17. North Texas beats Rice 41-17. That was actually a 17-17 game late in the third quarter before North Texas really turned it on. The Mean Green are now 7-2 overall. Middle Tennessee 51, Old Dominion 17. Charlotte 20, Southern Miss 17. Beck, the Wonder Boy Jack Abraham turns it over five times, the Tech transfer.
I know you love that.
Yeah, you know, it is what it is. I'm not real jacked up about it like you think, but he turned it over five times, and they lost to a bad Charlotte team. Coming up this week, Conference USA action. Friday night, Western Kentucky travels to Murfreesboro to take on Middle Tennessee. Marshall travels to Southern Miss to take on the Golden Eagles. Kickoff set for 2 p.m. UTEP travels to Rice in the snoozer of the week. Charlotte travels to Tennessee. We'll see if Brad Lambert's squad can keep it as close as UTEP did earlier this year. Florida Atlantic travels to Florida International for a rivalry game Saturday night. As I mentioned, UTSA on the road at UAB and Louisiana Tech at Mississippi State. So teams are starting to separate themselves. You know, UAB 5-0 in the conference, Florida International 4-0 in the conference. Obviously, those are the two teams that have a leg up right now. Louisiana Tech 4-1, Middle Tennessee 4-1, Marshall 3-1. So the top of the league is certainly very competitive. I think you look at the top five teams, you can make a case the league's pretty strong. But then on the opposite end, you know, you got an Old Dominion team, 2-7. I don't want to hear that they beat Virginia Tech. Virginia Tech has proven they are terrible. Western Kentucky 1-7, UTEP 0-8, Rice 1-8. So mixed results within the league this year, but you know, the upper-tier teams are playing pretty good football at the moment. So we're going to go ahead and take a timeout. When we come back from the break, we'll talk with Lady Texter head coach Brooke Storr. Lady Texters open their season Tuesday night at home against LSU Alexandria. You're listening to Bleed Tech Blue Radio, Sports Talk 97.7.
DQ fans, manage your hanger before it manages you with the all-new DQ Hungry Up Deal. Your new hanger management system with three deals meant to satisfy any size appetite. Whether you're hungry-ish, hungry, or straight-up hangry, you can enjoy three, four, or five 100% all-white meat chicken strips, plus fries and a world-famous mini blizzard treat, starting at just $4. It's the all-new Hungry Up Deal, only at your DQ. This is fan food, not fast food.
Get on the Express at Fairway Carts. The new EasyGo Express electric 4x4 is now in stock, and it's what you've waited years for. A silent four-wheel drive cart that seats four and has the power and torque you need. With trail tires, brush guards, and a whole lot more, Express is engineered to help you have a better hunt. The EasyGo Express electric 4x4, coming soon to Fairway Carts in Minden. Come by Highway 531 just north of I-20 or call 800-960-CART.
At First National Bank, part of being the Uncommon Bank is a dedication to community involvement. We are dedicated to the communities we serve. First National Bank has the privilege of partnering with MedCamps of Louisiana for the 2017 Louisiana Tech football season. For every touchdown the Bulldogs score, FNB will donate $100 to MedCamps, a nonprofit organization that provides a residential camping experience free of charge to children living with special needs. Visit their website, MedCamps.org, for more information on how you can help. First National Bank, we promise to be uncommon in all things we do. Member FDIC.
We're stirring up some scary deals at Brennan Dodge during Ram Power Days with huge savings on the all-new Ram trucks. Save $8,000 on 19 Ram 1500 Crew Longhorn. Save $10,000 on 19 Ram 1500 Crew Laramie. Save $10,000 on 19 Ram 1500 Crew Bighorns. And get an 18 Ram 2500 Crew 4x4 for just $35.9. Don't miss scary good deals at the all-new Brennan Dodge, I-20 Service Road, Ruston.
Injured in an accident? Call Creed & Creed in Monroe for local experienced representation. This is KNBB Dubok Ruston Monroe, 97.7.
Want to find out stuff about tech sports your neighbor doesn't know? Keep it right here on Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by First National Bank. Call or text the show on the Fairway Cards hotline, 888-993-7762.
Welcome back, Bleed Tech Blue Radio. Beck, believe it or not, basketball season's here. Lady Texters open their season next Tuesday night at home against LSU Alexandria. And to preview the Lady Texters, we're joined on the Fairway Cards hotline by Lady Texter head coach Brooke Storr. How are we doing tonight, Coach?
Doing great. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Coach, when you look back at last year, you know, you go 10-6 in conference play, 19-12 overall. Obviously, it wasn't the ending to the season that you all may have hoped for, but in total, would you consider the 2017-2018 season a success?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, we saw a lot of growth in year two from some individual players, but also from a program standpoint. You know, it's been since 2010-11 since a team had been to the postseason. We did that in year one, going to the postseason WNIT, winning 18 games. We followed that up with 19 wins and feel like we left, you know, a few out there last season that, you know, could have surpassed the 20-win mark. But I think, you know, think in terms of it, we all want to win, you know, and get to the NCAA tournament. But there's some things that, you know, our players have to understand about learning how to be a winner every day, whether that's in the classroom, in the community, or on the court. And I think we've had some individuals really take some big steps in these 2 years that we've been here, and it's been fun to see them grow. That's why we do what we do. But we are, you know, we're in the process of tipping off this season and seeing what this team can do, and we're excited about the future and where this team is headed.
And how difficult will it be for you guys to replace Alexis Malone? I know she's meant so much to the program over the previous 2 years.
Well, she's a, you know, a big boy. Anytime you lose a almost double-double in terms of an average from points and rebounds, you're going to have some stats to fill. But I thought she brought a lot of energy and intensity and passion to the court for us. And that's where we've got to have, you know, a number of players step up. And I think we've seen that and the maturation of Kiara Anthony and Taylor Staley, feeling more comfortable and confident in year two. And we're not going to replace Alexis with one player. I think it's going to be by committee. And, you know, I think that's been the popular question in the off season and in the preseason of, you know, how do you replace Alexis Malone? I don't think we're going to do that, by one person. It's going to be something that we're going to have to rely on, you know, two or three players to go get 10 boards for us, and our guards are going to have to rebound a little bit better. And I think kind of where we're headed offensively and in terms of what we're doing now, and our ability to spread the floor and space the floor gives us space to attack and get to the rim and get to the free throw line. And felt like the last 2 years we were very stagnant offensively, and we were very post-oriented, and I don't necessarily want to play that way, because, you know, you just become that much more easily guarded. If you look at the way basketball has transitioned over the last, you know, 5 to 10 years, and starting with the NBA, and you know, it's been in Europe that way for a long time, but we're getting to almost positionless basketball where, you know, everybody, you know, you've got 7-footers that are shooting the three and bringing the ball up the floor off a rebound and leading the break in transition. And, you know, we want to play a little faster, a little more entertaining style, and I think that's going to allow us to do that and be able to score more points. And we'll figure out how to get stops and get rebounds. But we're going to put a team out there that will allow us to really score the basketball and move the ball very well.
Coach, compared to last year, you might have just touched on this a little bit, but what is the biggest difference from last year's team to this year's team, and what's got you excited just for our fans that are about to come and support the Lady Texters?
Well, I think kind of what I just touched on offensively, we're able to space it and spread it a little bit better. And I think when you get down to it, you know, February, March, games are won by very solid guard play, teams that take care of the basketball, that can move the basketball and get easy shots. And it's great to be able to have a dominant post player to throw it in there, but you also clog up a lot of things offensively, and just the continuity and consistency with which our perimeters are playing right now in practice. We've had a close scrimmage at TCU. We'll have another one on Friday before we tip off the season. But I just like how we're moving the ball. I think a lot of times, we stood around, we'd throw it into Alexis and stand around and watch her go to work, and then she'd see double and triple teams at times, and, you know, we just didn't get as many people involved. I think we've got players on the floor now that can score the basketball and can really attack closeouts and get to the paint, get to the free throw line, and then be able to draw a defender and kick for a three. So I'm pleased with that. I think you'll see us kind of transition more into that, play a little faster tempo, and I think our players are excited about it.
And you mentioned playing that faster tempo, and you talked about, you know, come tournament time, it seems like guard play is what can really propel you to a championship. You have a trio of guards when you talk about Kiara Lane, Kiara Anthony, and Taylor Staley that have played not only a lot of basketball, but have played a lot of quality basketball. How comforting is that as a coach to know you have such an experienced backcourt?
Well, it's very comforting. I think, you know, you look at, we went to TCU a couple weeks ago and scrimmaged, and we had through four quarters, we had 14 turnovers, and I'm pleased with that. You know, I'd like to, you know, be somewhere around that neighborhood and really be able to value the ball and get a shot every time down the court. And I think that there's a comfort level with those three. But I think you got to throw in two returning sophomores that played a good bit last year early on when Lang was out, Amber Dixon and Raziel Ginto. They've really improved in the all season and taken their games to another level. And plus, they just have a year of maturity, and they're not freshmen anymore questioning themselves or wondering if, you know, where they're supposed to be and what the expectations are and all those things. And then we added a transfer from Texas Tech and Grayson Bright, who could play a number of positions for us. I mean, we could see her anywhere from the one through four, and she just brings a lot of energy. She brings the ability to score in and around the paint. She can face up and put it on the floor if she's got a bigger defender on her, and she's going to be one of the bigger guards in the league, and we're excited about that because of the ability to go rebound the basketball. We may play a little small at times and really be able to attack and push and transition and shoot the three and attack the rim.
And Grayson Bright, certainly a welcome addition to the program. Who are another couple of newcomers that Tech fans should be on the lookout for this year?
Well, we're going to be young on the inside, and we kind of touched on it earlier, of looking for people to kind of fill that void on the interior that Alexis Malone left. And you look at DeAndre Alexander from down the road in Arcadia. He's going to be a freshman and do some good things in our scrimmage, especially defensively. And he's got a strong presence and can get people off the block and go rebound it. And, you know, she and another freshman, Bree Harris, are going to have some moments where, you know, we're going to grow through some tough moments with them, but we're going to give them experience. And I think they're eager to learn and they want to be successful, and they just need that game experience. And so I think those two, along with Kiana Walker, got a very quick athlete on the perimeter, can really get to the free throw line and attack, did a tremendous job in our scrimmage at TCU from that respect. And I think she's someone that can really get out and play in the open court and has the ability to knock down the three as well.
And looking at you guys' conference schedule, you talk about University of Houston, Memphis on the road at Arkansas State, Wichita State, at Arizona State. You know, you play against Ole Miss as well at the Thomas Assembly Center. I feel like you really did a nice job in beefing up this non-conference schedule to prepare your team for a tough conference slate.
No question. We know that our NCAA tournament hopes are we've got to build a resume, and you've got to build an RPI in the non-conference schedule. And the main thing for me is I don't want any false hope of who I think our team is. When we head into conference play, you want to be tested. We are going to struggle, I think, at times playing some young players, and we're okay with that. We want the opportunity to grow and get better and be challenged and put them in some tough environments and see how they respond, because I want to know exactly who we have and what they can handle when we get to conference play, when it's so important as we set ourselves up for the conference tournament.
Absolutely, Coach. Well, we're looking forward to the season starting Tuesday night when you guys host Louisiana State Alexandria. Should be a fun season inside the Tech, and good luck this season.
Thanks so much. We're fired up to get started and look forward to having a great crowd at the Tech on Tuesday, and then follow that up with our Education Day game at 11 a.m. on Friday the 9th. So it should be an exciting time.
Brooke Storr, head coach, Louisiana Tech, Lady Texters. Lady Texters start their season Tuesday night, LSUA. I know I said Louisiana State, Alexandria. I really just couldn't say that right. But certainly looking for some big things with Coach Storr. You know, she mentioned about playing a more up-tempo offense. Probably, you know, Tech fans like an exciting brand of basketball or of football, so I would assume they like an exciting brand of basketball. So get on out to the Tech. Support the Lady Texters.
Yeah, and she's in year three, Ben. I think I would say it takes a few years to really get your system put in and get some of the players that you're recruiting in. So I think can be big things expected from the Lady Texters.
Absolutely. Duncan Dogs also get their season going next Tuesday night as well. I mentioned in the open they'll host a exhibition game against Union College Thursday night, 6:30 p.m. Admission is free if you'd like to see the Duncan Dogs. They'll start next Tuesday as well on the road at Wichita State. Beck, last night they had dinner with the Dogs, Eric Cockle hosting, you know, open to the public. A few things I heard out of there. For one, Anthony DeRuzzi, 46.5-inch vertical leap. You could combine our verticals, and I'm not sure we'd get to 40.
Oh, I can answer that. For sure we wouldn't get to 40.
Also heard that Day-Day Bracey said that he slimmed up a little bit, and he's faster. Can you believe the dude can move any faster?
No.
Pretty quick. I'm excited to watch both the Lady Texters and the Duncan Dogs this year. Hopefully we have some good seasons on the hardwood. You know, as always, we'll be covering the Duncan Dogs, BleedTechBlue.com. Also promised one of our subscribers today I'll be covering the Lady Texters a little more closely this year as well. So you can join us, BleedTechBlue.com. Only $9.95 a month. We are your number one source for Louisiana Tech athletics. We're going to go ahead. We're going to take our final timeout when we come back. Beck gives us five locks for the week. He doesn't win much, but he wins sometimes. You're listening to Bleed Tech Blue Radio, Sports Talk 97.7.
Got stuff you need to store or haul or keep covered? You need ideal portable buildings, carports, and trailer sales. Whatever size building you need, they'll build it right on your lot. They've got utility trailers to haul what you got from 8 to 16 feet, and you can protect it all with a new carport from Ideal, the number one Eagle carport dealer in the state. Store it, haul it, cover it. Ideal Portable Buildings, Carports, and Trailer Sales. 699-9426, or find them on Facebook.
First National Bank, the uncommon bank. Banking on a first-name basis. Uncommon. People, service, and convenience. Uncommon. Dedication, trust, and courtesy. First National Bank. Beyond banking with 100 years of experience. Uncommonly close to you. First National Bank. The Uncommon Bank. www.theuncommonbank.com. Member FDIC.
Bulldog fans, this is Chris Brister from Brister's Smokehouse, and I'd like to invite you to our new location, 1420 Cooktown Road in Ruston, across the street from our old location. Stop in and try our famous scatter load on your choice of four different types of bread. Our barbecue nachos are piled high with your favorite type of meat, and you have to taste for yourself our tender and juicy smoke-cooked chicken, my personal favorite. So whether you're in town or at a Tech game or just in the mood for the best barbecue in town, come see us at Brister's Smokehouse, 1420 Cooktown Road in Ruston.
Hi, I'm Lieutenant Governor Billy Nungesser. Louisiana is more than just a place to visit. It's our way of life, and that means being outdoors. Join the nearly 2 million people who camp, bike, paddle, and hike our state parks last year as we invite you to do the same. Every corner of Louisiana has something to offer, from the world-class fishing at Toledo Bend to paddling at Fontainebleau to exploring the ancient mounds at Poverty Point World Heritage Site. So fill up your car and staycation right here in our home, Louisiana.
Sponsored by Louisiana Office of Tourism.
Gotta love it. Tech sports, that is. That's why there's Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by First National Bank. Call or text the show on the Fairway Cards hotline, 888-993-7762.
Welcome back. We wrap it up. Louisiana Tech travels to Mississippi State, 6:30 p.m. kickoff, SEC Network. Beck, I don't know if you've been checking out Facebook Live. Our fearless sports director at Sports Talk 97.7, Sean Fox, says, what are the odds we get an exclusive one-on-one with Beck and Jamar before the end of the season? He's just asking for a friend. Beck, would you even be willing to sit
I would
down?
Do it so fast.
What would you ask him?
I have a whole list of questions I would ask him, Ben.
I would love to hear.
If there's any way, we can do that even completely aside. I could do it in the summer, even completely aside.
We'll try to set that up.
We could do it. I don't know where we would do it. Oh, in the DAC or the suites or something with a cool background like they do on ESPN?
Yeah. Well, that's about the only place you like to watch games.
Well, I'm just saying. I would do it, and I would do it really well. It might be my last radio show if I did that, because I'd be headed to California or something after that.
Yeah, California to work for Fox Sports, or California to get the heck out of Ruston?
No, California to work for Fox Sports.
Yeah, we'll see. What you got for me?
Well, Ben, as you know, Tech is off to its best start in Skip Holtz's era at 6-2. You said before the season that this would be the best team that Skip had at Tech.
Hey.
Were you right? Were you right?
Hey. BC don't miss, baby. BC don't miss, baby.
All right. But was it more – is it as simple as wins and losses? Are we looking just at the record here?
Beck, listen. Here's what I'll say. And I'll say it this way. You can get mad. You can get glad. You can call us. 888-993-7762. If you disagree, call us. State your opinion. I said this was the best Tech team. I didn't say this was the best offense. I didn't say this was the best defense. I didn't say this was the best special teams. 6-2 is the best start in the Skip Holtz's era. And if we look at it, if you look at all the metrics and Massey and Sagarin and all that mess, they predict Tech to go 9-3. And if I'm not mistaken, 9-3 would be the best regular season in Skip Holtz's era at Tech. Therefore, I'm right. Well, then I get this question. Well, Conference USA is just not as good as it normally is, and the schedule is weak.
7 road games, Ben.
Okay, and you're one of 7 teams in the country with 4 road wins.
I know.
Is it Skip Holtz's fault that Western Kentucky can't build a consistent program in year in and year out?
Apparently it is, Ben.
Is it Skip Holtz's fault that Rice is a one-hit wonder? Is it Skip Holtz's problem that no one wants to play in El Paso? Is it Skip Holtz's problem that Jay Hobson can't recruit at Southern Miss? Is it Skip Holtz's problem that North Texas can't beat Tech in his own backyard? Or is it Lane Kiffin's problem that he didn't get out of Boca Raton in time?
Talk about missed opportunities.
Like, let's quit making excuses saying the schedule in this, the schedule in that. Like, who cares? Like, Tech controls what they can control.
And it's not like in Tech's history, Texas dominated the Conference USA either.
No, but I can guarantee you one thing. 2014, Tech played for a Conference USA championship. 2015, they finished 2nd in the division to Southern Miss. Okay? They lost on the final game of the regular season to lose the division. 2016, played for the championship. 2017, okay, that one year, Tech wasn't in the race. This year, competing for another conference championship, right?
Right.
Tell me how many programs in the conference have gone and competed for a conference championship 4 out of 5 years?
Not many, Ben.
No, not one. And I'll tell you something. I'm not saying I'm happy with not winning a conference championship. That's obviously the goal. And if it's not your goal, you're just a loser. But Tech is competing for conference championships year in and year out. Is it pretty? It ain't pretty. But last I could tell, the only pretty person that wins is in a beauty contest. Nick Saban ain't dressing his players up as pretty as he can be to try to win every week.
But they're winning pretty right now.
They are winning pretty right now. That's beside the point. This is the best Skip Holtz team. But, I'm tired of the argument that the schedule is not as strong as back in 2004. Well, I'm sorry that I don't want to play the number 2 team in the country, and then the number 4 team in the country, and then the number 7 team in the country, and then the number 12 team in the country. This is a competitive schedule. Tech played a top 3 team in LSU, a top 21 or top 18 team in Mississippi State as of this week. What more do you want? Do you want to win, or do you not want to win? That's what it boils down to. All right, next question. I'm done. I'm done rambling.
Okay, this is a 2-part question. We've talked about it every week, but just for our maybe have a new listener out there. UAB has to lose 2 games. 2 of their last 3, right?
That's right.
For Tech to have a shot at the conference championship?
That's correct.
Which honestly seems a little out there.
That's correct.
But if they somehow did it and they hosted the Conference USA championship, How many people would show up, BC?
This was a question that was posed on the Bleed Tech Blue message board. And listen, if Tech hosts a conference championship on December the 1st, I'm going to have a one-week-old for one. But I'll be at the game.
You'll be there.
So if you have another excuse for not being at the game, I'll be the judge on whether or not it's valid.
I'll be there.
Well, I know you'll be there. Now, how many – first off, I want to ask you this question. How many people you think would show up? December the 1st, we'll say it's a noon kickoff, Tech's playing for a championship, Marshall – or we'll say Florida International's coming to town. You know, not a regional opponent.
20,000.
20,000? Let's be honest, 12,000. Potatoes, how many do you think would be there?
You don't think that the Tech could, like, generate some interest in that?
If they hosted the conference championship.
With Florida International in town.
Oh, I don't care who the opponent is.
I think with anybody, let's see, would school be back in?
No.
Oh, it won't?
It might. Yeah, it would probably be just back in session.
Probably 15.
Yeah. Oh. Beck,
a few years ago we were like 23, 24?
Yeah, we're not hating on Tech fans. But, like, it is what it is.
I know. I just think for a conference championship.
I'll be surprised if you're not in the deer stand.
Depends on the weather, man.
Yeah,
I'm just kidding. I'll be there, Ben.
I've heard
I'll
gun
be there.
Season's open, so I don't know. Maybe you'll join me for the podcast next week. Who knows?
Maybe.
Beck,
we don't have a podcast next week.
Yeah, I'm doing a podcast.
Oh, you're doing a podcast.
Yeah, a podcast. Exclusive.
Can we say whatever we want to say?
Blue Radio. Yeah.
I might do it.
Yeah, we can say whatever. We'll come up here to
the
studio.
We'll call it like what do they call it?
Unhinged.
Unhinged.
Bleed Tech Blue Radio.
Bleed Tech Blue Unhinged.
All right. You had 6 locks for the week last week. You went 3-3. You're 6-5 on the year. If you're betting with Beck, you're making money. But let me tell you something.
Not much, but
you're not making much more than a dollar burger from Wendy's, Whopper Jr. But what you got for us this week?
All right. I'm going to go. The old personal text line's hitting it up, you know. You got to love it.
Let's hear the personal text line.
Somebody just quoted what I said, depends on the weather.
Yeah.
I mean, it's true.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people out there.
That's
it's
ridiculous.
Gun season. It's rifle season starting tomorrow. I don't like it. Did I leave a game early to go hunt? Yeah. Was I chasing a super big deer? Yeah. Did I kill him? Yeah. I'm not mad about it.
Are you making excuses? Yeah.
Well, I'm just saying, Ben.
Yeah,
hopefully for a conference championship, Rustin can get out of the deer stand. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, if Tech plays for a conference championship, there should be 25,000 people at that game, but there will be 12,000. Keep going.
Anyways, here's my locks for the week. I did real poorly in SEC last week, but I got Texas A&M covering at Auburn.
Man, you
They're
love the
points.
Aggies.
I don't know why. I just believe in them a little bit. I got OK State covering against Baylor. I already forgot the line on that.
Yeah, thanks.
But that was Baylor was like a 8-point favorite, I want to say.
Baylor's an 8-point favorite at home against
Oklahoma
State.
Don't quote me
on
that. I'm on the radio. That's
Mike Gundy just beat. Did you see Mike Gundy's going off on Twitter or about Twitter?
Yes, that was awesome.
I love Mike Gundy.
Me too. I kind of wish Skip had a little more Gundy in him, if I'm being honest with you.
Mike Gundy says, I'm a man, I'm 40. Now he's 50, and he just wants to bash Twitter. Maybe he should.
Oh, excuse me. OK State's an 8-point favorite at Baylor.
And you think they cover?
Oh, I think they covered.
Okay.
Baylor's
okay.
Awful.
All right.
Kentucky covers against
Georgia. Hold on.
What?
We'll have to get our good friend Austin Brown on the show, and you can tell him how terrible Baylor is in a couple weeks.
That's fine. I'm scared.
All right.
Georgia's a 10-point favorite at Kentucky. I think Kentucky covers that.
Really?
I do. And here's why.
Kentucky's a fluke.
No, they're not. Georgia's not like an offensive powerhouse like everybody thinks they are. It depends on which Fromm shows up.
Jake from State Farm.
Dogs for sure cover.
Against
That's a lot.
State.
Yeah, 23.5-point favorite.
Right.
I mean, underdog. Book it.
All right, we're booking.
Robbie. Me and Robbie. Taking the dogs.
J-Mar, Skippy.
Right. Here, Ben, I don't ever have a 100% lock, okay?
I would never
tell you sell the farm and put the money on this game.
Wait, so I can give up my kids' college tuition?
College fund, any money you got in your house, get the money out of the drawers, date night money, whatever it is, scrounge it all up. Alabama for sure covers the 14.5-point favorites against LSU. You can go ahead and sweeten it a little bit. They're going to win by 20, man.
Hey, bet.
They're going to win by 20.
Hey, I can't wait till we come in here next week. And if you're 6-10 overall,
if I'm even alive,
if you're 6-10 overall, this segment might be gone.
Ben, I'm telling you, Alabama,
if I mortgage my future for you,
LSU don't even know.
All right, we'll see.
Alabama for sure covers.
So Tech lost by 17 to LSU, and you think it'll?
Yeah,
be,
but that was a fluke.
No, so you think it'll be a 37-point turnaround for the opponent. You're a gambler. Yeah. You're a riverboat gambler.
Yeah. Yeah.
You are a riverboat
Alabama
gambler.
Hasn't really played anybody of super talent this year.
You're right. We'll see. It'll be a good game.
It'll be a good game. But what time is that game?
7 o'clock. Watch the Dogs and the Bulldogs.
Yeah, I ain't going to be watching it, so I'll just check the score at the end.
Absolutely. So, good show tonight. We will not be on the air next week. We will have an exclusive podcast recapping the Mississippi State game, previewing Tech's return home to Joe-Ice Stadium against Rice. We'll also preview the Duncan Dogs matchup with Wichita State, talk a little bit about the Lady Texters and LSUA. We appreciate you listening tonight. For Ben Carlisle, for Beck Haynes, our Hall of Fame producer, John Tabor, we'll see you.
Listen for the First National Bank Bleed Tech Blue Radio Show every Tuesday at 6 p.m. on Sports Talk 977 with your host, Ben Carlisle. Also brought to you by Brennan Dodge, Dairy Queen, Rustin and El Dorado, Walpole Time, Fairway Carts, O'Neill Gas, and Brister Smokehouse. Thanks for listening to Bleed Tech Blue Radio on Sports Talk 977.
But Rob, I think, I mean, I, look, you grew up as a kid watching Ali just
Ali.
Like I did.
I watched
so,
him.
So we all love him. By the time you and I were really watching him, people had accepted the shtick.
No,
like
they
that,
got
you know
it.
What I mean?
I got it.
But the bottom line is it's not that much different.
I think there's a little difference.
All right, let's go to Neiman in Montana. Welcome to the Odd Couple, Neiman.
Hey, what's up, guys? Thanks. Love you guys' show. I listen to it all the time.
I'm pretty sure
I'm the only dude from Montana that calls.
Get your boys calling in and and listening. We love Montana, man.
That's right.
Heck yeah. So really quick about the LeBron LA thing, and then I want to ask you guys a question about LeBron. I think being a Laker, you got a lot of expectations with the past that the Lakers have had. And being LeBron, he's got a lot of expectations. Right now he's not living up to it. Is it his fault? Maybe. Is it the Lakers' fault? Maybe. But he's trying to live up to these expectations, and the media is firing at him. So, yeah, he might get pissed, and good, do it. Now, my question about LeBron is this. It's kind of off topic, but if you were to take LeBron, have him born and raised in the game at the same time as Michael Jordan, okay, in a more physical style basketball, in my opinion, do you think with his size, speed, agility,